Okay, and this wonderful Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan Tov Shin Pei Aleph, we are ready for Erevin Daf Ayin, Nichnas Yayin Yatzasod Gematria Ayin, and we are holding on Samach Tet Omud Beit, and good Chodesh world. I think it's even a good Chodesh over there in Walnut Creek. Okay, so the last thing that we learned yesterday is we actually had learned this last piece, but since we're going to be reviewing the dinner, let's just run over again from the last line on Samach Tet Amud Beit. So we were talking about one person could be Notein Rishus, and the idea is that the Chiddush in that was is simply to tell me maybe you should make a Gezeira, because if one person could be Mevater Rishus to two people, two people Mevater Rishus to one person, you might think that one person would be. People would make the mistake of thinking you do the opposite. And of course, if one person in a case where you're going to be mavato to two people who didn't make the Eruv, it's not going to help them. So therefore, Kamashma, we're not worried about that. And furthermore, the last piece was that you can never be mavato Rishus to two people, even in the event that there was a Spiferish. Tonight, I'm giving you this Rishus so that you in turn should give it over to the other guy. And that way, everybody's going to have only one. And Alpha Pekin, it doesn't help because at the moment that the Rishus was bevutal to you, it was a meaningless transaction, and therefore there was no halos of the Bitul Rishus, even though you were going to transfer it later on. Okay, so we got up to Boimine Abayim Miraba, which is the third and fourth line. So if you've got five people, asks Abayim, where you've all these people in the Chotzer, one of them forgot. The question is, if I am going to be Mevatar my Rishus, this one who forgot, do I have to be Mevatar Rishus for every single other member in the Chatzar? Or can I just be Mevatar Rishus to one of them since they have an Erev, and that Erev would automatically include my Rishus in the Rishus of everybody else, part of the Dinim of Erev? Or must I literally go over to every single guy and say, look, you can use my area, you can use my area, and so on? So Rabba told him that the din is that you're going to have to be mevato to every single person. So Abaya had a problem, and in the course of this problem and bringing a brisa that would show Rabba that he's wrong, he brings us an entire brisa that goes through all of the various dinin, all of the cases where Bitul Rishus does help, and all of the cases where Bitul Rishus doesn't help. So first, we talk about four cases where you could be Mevatar Rishus, each one adding something, and we're going to talk later about what exactly is it adding. Then we'll get to ask the kasha Rabbi has on Rabba. By that point, we already forgot what he was coming to tell us because we got so interested in the bright. But first, let's listen to the bright. Okay. So case number one is that a guy who did not join an Erev can give his rishus to somebody, note the word, to somebody. To somebody, which seems to one person, which is where we're going to come back to and ask the kasha and rabba, to somebody who did have an Erev. Well, obviously, if he had an Erev, there was another guy there also, right? And I'm only giving it to him, I'm not giving it to both of them. It says to somebody, le'echad. Okay, there you go. That's my raya. However, once already we start the brayta, let's just look at the whole brayta. Okay, case number two, where you could do it. If you got two people who had an Erev, they can also give their rights to one guy who didn't, because that way there's only one person, not two people answering on each other. Third rule is that if you've got two people who did not join the Erev, they can both give away their rishus to the other two people or more who did. Also, pretty clear. Or in the fourth case is, if there was one guy who didn't join the Erev, so then the two people who actually did have an Erev, they could give their rishus to one guy who didn't join the Erev. Fine, also good, because as long as we have one person in the end who is the full rishus, or we have two people with an Erev or more that are the full rishus, the other guy is just an oreach, everything is fine. Very clear cut. As a matter of fact, it's so obvious that it's a little bit disturbing that we needed to talk out every single case, and in the end, we're going to ask what the point is of mentioning all of these cases. So those are four cases where Bitul Rishus does help. Now there's three cases where Bitul Rishus doesn't help. Aval, Lo echad she'irev, noten reshuto le'echad she'lo irev. One person who did not join up an erev cannot give away his reshus to one person who did not join the erev. Because basically, in that case, there's still that person, he did not give up his rights. So if you've got one person who wasn't ma'arev, obviously there's a third person here, because otherwise, how did the other person make an erev? We're just not mentioning him, right? So one of the people who made the erev cannot give away his reshus to one of them who didn't and say, okay, you know what? You sort of take over my reshus. No, because that person didn't join the erev. And there's now going to be somebody without an erev. So that doesn't help. Okay, the next case, the second case where it doesn't help. Two people who did have an erev cannot give their reshus to two people who don't have an erev, obviously, because then those two people are going to be the dayarim without an erev b'nei'em. That follows obviously. You can never give your reshus to two people because it's not going to help. And the last case, the third case that doesn't work, is if you have two people who didn't join an erev, they cannot give their reshus to two people who didn't join in the erev, which is sort of obvious. And the Gemara, of course, is going to ask, well, what possible chiddush could there be in that? Two people are always usher. So obviously, what's nafka mina? How many people gave it to them? Anyway, says Abaye, okay, now you saw the braita, so you understand what my problem is with Rabbah. It says beferish, that one person, that's the opening case. Echad shelo irev, noten reshuto le'echad she'irev, okay? So this guy is obviously he's not alone. I mean, echidami, if there's nobody else, who did he make the erev with, a ghost? I mean, obviously, if he made an erev, then there must be two people at a minimum, and then this third guy who didn't join, and it says he can give it to one of the two. And if nobody else is there, b'hariman erev, would make the erev with. There is another guy, and it says you only have to give it to one, and that's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, we know all of these things. The whole point of this opening is to prove that Rabbah is wrong, as far as I'm concerned. And it's showing you that all you need to do is be mevatel the reshus to one out of the two people. And same thing, one out of five people, 10 people, I don't care. Because if it works for two people, it works because of the Erev. So then it should work for five people because of the Erev. Now, Rabbah.
Microphone.
Now, Rabbah will have to explain that away by saying, now, what we're talking about over here is the guy did make an Erev, but the person with whom he made the Erev died. So since there's only one guy left, so then the person who didn't join that Erev can now give away his rights. So that can't be the case that the Bright is talking about, that there wasn't the third person at the time. Because how do you explain the cases at the end of the Braita where that obviously isn't true? When it starts describing where you cannot do a bitul reshus, it says, Ema Seifa, Ein Echad She'irev. If there's one guy who did join an Erev, he cannot give his rights to a guy who did not. Why not? If there's no third party because he died, why can't the person, you can always give away your rights to another person, and then there's only one person in the chutzner. It has nothing to do with whether there was an erev or not. Two people being in a chutzner, one gives away his rights to the other one, and that's it. So then that one that got the rights is able to carry, and the other one is not able to carry. So then if the guy died, why does that case work? So says the Gemara, okay, Pshita the Ite, and it must be that he's there. If the Sefer says that he's there, so then undoubtedly the Reisha was talking about that the guy did not die, right? Is Rabbah, why is that right? I understand. The Bright is not talking about one, but it's talking about different cases. Obviously, in this case, the guy is alive, and he didn't die. Call that a Raya. How could he eat? Every case is separate. Okay, I'll prove it to you, by the way, because take a look at the end of the cases that are talking about where you can make the bitul reshus. Those are the first four cases, which we're calling the Reisha. The last three cases we're calling the Seifa. And the Seifa of the Reisha was the last case that we had over there. Two people who did not make an Erev can both give their reshus, says Rabbah, to two people who made an Erev, ha ha. So then what is that telling me? That they have to be Mavata Rishos to to people. Yes, indeed. Whereas according to you, Abaya, why they have to be vatos just to two people? So then that means that if you actually, you can go and be mevatel rishus, like in this case, it's got to be to both of the people who have that rishus, okay? Which is like I'm saying, it's clearly saying like Rabba. And that means that the first case has got to be talking about where it says one person, echad is mevatel echad, then it must be talking about where the third guy had died. So you see that I'm right. Gavi, tell them that it's Rosh Chodesh. There's no lab on Rosh Chodesh. Go relax. Sit down by the kever of Nochem Ish Gamzu around the corner, and we can all learn with Nochem Ish Gamzu.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be beautiful? Nochem Ish Gamzu's kever is right across the block from Gavi's school. Amazing. Okay. So what's Abaya going to do with this? Why does it say two people? Vabaya Omar, it doesn't mean you have to give it to both people. It means you give it to one out of the two people. I mean, it's not coming there to tell me you have to give it dafka to two. Excuse me, Abaya, what do you mean it's not coming to tell me that? If it's not coming to tell me that, can you explain to me why the heck it says it? I mean, because all you need it to say is that you can give your Erev to one of the people who made an Erev. Well, we've already established if one of the people made an Erev, there's got to be an invisible third party with whom he made the Erev, right? And then you would be bringing out the point beautifully. In a case where there's two people, you can give it to one of the two. Abaya doesn't say that. Instead, it says unnecessarily to two people who weren't Erev, which seems to definitely be saying like, Rabba, this is bad news. Okay, says Abaya Kasha. That is definitely a problem. I can't hide from that. But look, it's not devastating, but it's certainly a problem. Okay, so let's continue on. Once we've already started talking about the Braita, let's go through the Braita now because we have very different ways of looking at this Braita according to Abaya and Rabba. Let's go through the whole Braita like how Abaya does it and how Rabba does it. Okay, so we start off with our number one case. Echad shelo yirev noten reshuto le'echad she'irev. Okay, so according to Abaye, there's the third invisible partner. He is here. And the whole point of the Braita is to tell me that even though there's two people that have an Erev, you don't have to give your rishus to each and every one of them. You can give it to one. And that's the point. Kamashman, the ain tzarech levat the rishus l'kolecha v'yachad. The very issue over here, the only chiddush of the issue is to tell me that Rabba is wrong. Rabba says, the only chiddush over here is the opposite. Actually, the guy was there and he died. The reason that we need to talk about this is because you might think that we should make a gezeira that if the guy is there and we allow you to be mevatel your rishus, in this case, to one out of the two people who were originally there, you might do the same thing in the case where a guy did not die on Shabbos. You'll think that it's enough to give away your rishus to one person. So you might have think, so maybe even if the other guy died, we never allow you to give away your rishus to only one person to avoid exactly that kind of misunderstanding. Kamash malam, that's the chiddush, says Rabba, that we don't have that kind of gezeira. Totally opposite approaches to the meaning of the first case in the Braita. Let's take the second case. Two people who had an Erev are able to give their Rishus to some one person who was not Ma'ariv. Well, I mean, isn't that sort of obvious? And says the Gemara, not necessarily, because look, if the person didn't join in an Erev, so maybe we should be konis him and say, listen, you don't, we're not going to make life easier for you. Now, I mean, in the first case, after all, we were talking about where he gave away his rishus. But I mean, we should make him the proud recipient of all of the rishuyas in the chatzir because he was the idiot who didn't join the Erev? Maybe not. Kamash malan, then we have no such problem. Bittul rishus works in either direction, even to idiots. Okay, fine. Now the third case. Two people who didn't join in the Erev can be mevatel the rishus to two people that did have an Erev. So what's the point of that case? I mean, it's not saying anything, is it? It is, because according to Rabba, the point of year is to make it clear what was happening at the beginning, because we learned from this case that you have to be mevatel rishus to both people. So according to Rabbah, this is great because the only point of the Chiddush over here is that you're being mevatel to two people specifically. According to Abaye, this was a problem. And he ended up saying, gee, I don't really know. But okay, but what would be the meaning of the Braita over here? Because Saka Daitachamina, Ligzer Dema Atilavatule Lahu. As we said earlier, you might think that two people being mevatel rishus should not be accepted because you might think that you can give a rishus also to two people who were left out of Nevin Erev. And of course, you cannot do that. The reason you cannot do that is because they will asser on each other, like we said. So you might have thought that we should asser any type of transaction involving two people and that the din of bittul rishus would be limited to one individual's mevatel rishus. Kamash malon that there's no such thing. That's how Abaye will have to learn. Now, the very last case was that two people can also be mevatel their rishus to one person who did not join in the Erev. So what's the Chiddush in this? I mean, if two people could be mevatel to two, which was the case number three, why would I think they're not allowed to be mevatel to one, which is case number four? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because in this case, nobody made an Erev, okay? So isn't it very possible that the din of bittul rishus does not take the place of an Erev? The din of bittul rishus allows an idiot who forgot to join the Erev to be part of an Erev and give him an emergency out. But if nobody even cared about making the Erev in the first place, we're not going to give you a mechanism through which you can accomplish the ends of the Erev without making the Erev. Because if we did that, people are just not going to use Erevin, which are a little bit more complex. And they figure, okay, so if the kids want to go out, and I didn't think of something they want to go out, just be mevatel rishus. I'll ask the other people, be mevatel rishus. You might have thought that in a case where there was an Erev in the chatzar, some people didn't join. That's where we have the halacha of bittul rishus as an emergency measure. But in an area where there was no Erev at all, kulam lo irvu, like this last case over here, then maybe there should be a knas. And not allow them to do bittul rishus simply to avoid a problem of lo tishtakach torat eruv. I mean, people that would be raised in a chotzer like that will grow up never having heard of an eruv. Kamash malan, that we did not make such an issue. Okay, now let's start on the seifa. The seifa has three cases in which bittul rishus does not help. Okay, so now case number five, which is case number one of the seifa. One person who didn't join in the Erev cannot give his rishus to one of the people who, to one person rather, who did not give, join the Erev. So according to Abaye, the point over here is to make it clear that Abaye had used this case to show that there was another live individual. And that is the point, according to Abaye. And therefore, he was saying, if the Sefer was talking about that there was another live individual, which is the only way to understand this, because why can't one of the people who was Ma'arev, if there was no one else in the Chatzar, why can't he give away his Rishos? Obviously, there is someone else in the Chatzar. So that's how Abaye understood the meaning of this case. It's coming to teach me not to learn the first case like Rabbah. According to Rabbah, one case had nothing to do with the other. So what is the point? I mean, there's certainly nothing that you're teaching me over here. What's the Chiddush? There isn't any, says Rabbah. It's just to keep things parallel, you know. We said in the Reisha that somebody who didn't mishtatef in the Erev can be mevatel rishus to someone who was mishtatef in the Erev. So the Seifa says the same case in the opposite direction, that one person who is a member of an Erev cannot give away his rights to somebody who didn't join in the Erev and thereby be matrim, because you need to have everybody's rights. Fine. Now, the second case of the three final cases, case number six in the Braita. Two people who have an Erev cannot give their rishus to two people who didn't have the Erev. Well, I should hope not. This is all very clear from before. We said that two people are always going to answer each other. It's not going to do any good for them to be accepting the other people's rishus. So what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that even though one of these two people who didn't join was Movato all of his rights, including the rights that were given to him by all the other people in the Chotzer, to the remaining one person, so that now there's only one individual that has all of the rights of the Chotzer. So Mao de Tema Lishterele, that would be okay. Kamashmalan, as we said before, since at the time that the Bittul Rishus was made, it didn't make any sense because it couldn't have been matter you. The only takona of a Bittul Rishus is if at the moment that it's made, it's matter you, then you're able to be kind of with Bittul Rishus. But over here, you're saying, but ultimately it will help. Ultimately is not part of the kana, the takona. So given to be in the Bittul, if at the time that you made the Bittul, it wasn't useful. So therefore, even now, it's not going to be matter. Now, case number, the last case that we have in the Braita, case number 7, the last of the three cases that you cannot be mavato. Ein shnayim shelo irvu, notnim reshutam shnayim shelo irvu. Nobody made an erev. And then the two people who didn't have an erev cannot give their rishos to two people who didn't have it. Well, obviously, if you only have two people, then they're still going to answer one or the other. What's the difference if you have four people or two people? It makes absolutely no difference. And over here, obviously the Kiddush is, where the two remaining people took their rishus and they said to one of the two people remaining, we will give you our rishus on condition that you give over all of the rishus to the other guy, kamash malan, that it will not be chal. Okay. Now, Boimine Rav Amira Nachman, a new question, a completely new question. What is the status of an heir when it comes to being Mavato Rishos? So let's imagine a case where a father didn't participate in an Erev. He was not Mavato Rishos, and then he dies on Shabbos, which means that on Shabbos, automatically, his son is now the guy who is the one who's the owner of the chatzar, of the house in the chatzar. So now the question is, can that son now be mevato rishos? So maybe we should say that if a person had the option at the beginning of Shabbos to make an Erev and forgot, it was left out, but that was where the takana is, that you can utilize your bittul rishus instead of the Erev that you didn't join. But if you'd never had that option, avohai, this heir, the son, he would not have been able to do that. Because if he had wanted to make an Erev, obviously he couldn't have made an Erev because he didn't own the house at the beginning of Shabbos. So therefore, in a case where you cannot make an Erev, maybe there's no takana being mevato rishus. Mevato Rishos is the emergency replacement for the Erev that you could have made, but it's not something that takes the place of an Erev that wasn't an option to you. We've examined this idea in other contexts earlier in Shmuel's list of rules, right? But perhaps this case is different. Why is this case different? Because we may view a son as being the continuum of the father, which is a completely different concept of kinyan rishus, because the idea of tachat avotecha yu banecha, the child takes the place of the father, and therefore all rights are his that the father could have done. Now, the father could have been mevato because the father could have had an erev, and he's just an extension of that. That's called bra kare deavua. There's the technical way we refer to that. The child is the father's extension. It's his foot, so to speak. Omar Leiser, Reb Nachman said, well, it's a good question. I got to tell you, my opinion is absolutely the son can certainly be mevato, but these guys that learn at Shmuel's yeshiva, they give me a hard time, and they're tanu ein mevato. So they don't hold that you can be mevato. All right. So obviously, I mean, we have to distinguish between this case and the case that we had before when a goy dies. Over there, we had a different machlokas, remember, between Reb Sheshes and Reb Amnuna. If bittul between the Jews that are left in a chatzar when the goy dies is considered to be a bittul or not. Is that similar to this case where you could not have made an Erev at the beginning? No, because the idea over there was the only reason that you couldn't have made the Erev was because you had not rented the rishus from the goy, but theoretically you could have made the Erev. If you had wanted to rent it, you could have. Over here, the guy couldn't have done anything. He didn't own it. I mean, who is he? So obviously there would be no connection. Also, even if we're going to say Bittul doesn't work, that with the Akum, Doesn't mean Bittul doesn't work over here because there's no concept of Baruch Hara Davua with the Yaakov. So therefore, these two issues, as Tosis points out, are not really relevant one to the other. It's just important to keep them separate in our minds because the things appear on the surface to be interrelated. Okay, so now we're going to be asking over here from the Brayta. Eitve. Zakla. So let's take a look at what the general rule is. Here we've got a Brayta. Kol shemutar l'miksar Shabbos. Fascinating halacha, very important halacha. Any chutzar that was okay to carry in at the beginning of the Shabbos remains mutter for all of Shabbos. Any chutzar that was usher at the beginning of Shabbos remains usher for the entire Shabbos. There's only one case where that isn't true, and that's the case of Bittul Rishus. We're over there at the beginning of Shabbos. There was one guy who was left out of the Erev, and now because of Bittul Rishus, he can suddenly start carrying in the middle of Shabbos. Now, let's go through trying to understand what the Kiddush of this Braisa is, okay? So let's take the first statement. Kol shuter l'miksa Shabbos mutter l'chol ha-Shabbos. All right, so that would be a very simple thing. Let's forget, for instance, let's discuss the case we had many times. Two chatzerot, each one being independent with an opening to Rishus HaRabim. They have a door between them or they have a window between them. They made an Erev between the two of them. And now the door collapses. And now there's just a pile of rubble in front of the door. They have no way of going between one chatzer and the other. That ought to destroy their Erev because now basically you can't be Ma'arev in a chatzer that doesn't have the door to the other chatzer. Doesn't matter. Because since at the beginning of Shabbos they were one, they remain one. So even if Nistam HaPetach, or if they had a window and the window was filled with rubble, it's the same thing. Now, the question is, by making a klal out of it, whenever we say Zeha klal, we are expanding the particular case. Can you tell me what the expansion is? I mean, is there a different case that is a bigger chiddush than the one that I just explained? So Zeha klal is coming latuye mai. Ah, yes, I can tell you, a very big chiddush that the Zeha klal is coming to expand on. Suppose you had a mavui and there was a lechi or a korah across the mavui, which is what allowed us to carry in that mavui, and the lechi or korah collapsed. Okay, now you would have thought, now hold on a second, we're talking about a lechi and korah that collapses. That would be similar to the actual mechitza that collapses, obviously. Obviously, if a Rishus HaYochid suddenly becomes a Rishus HaRabim because all the walls fall down, so in that case, you're certainly not going to say, well, it was Rishus HaYochid at the beginning of Shabbos. Who cares if it's a Rishus HaRabim now? That's nonsense. Of course you care, because a mechitza, as we said, a mechitza is a mechitza is a mechitza, and therefore it should be whatever it is, whether it was made on Shabbos, whether it was unmade on Shabbos. So the big chiddush is that even though the Rabbanan view the takana of lechi or korah, depending on the machlokas, that it may be mitam mechitza, but it isn't really a mechitza. And it's, in terms of its virtual mechitza, min rabbanan, the heter is the essence of the thing. If on Shabbos this is a place to carry, it remains a place to carry. That's a fantastic chiddush and a fantastic extension with the Zeha klal of the rule that anything mutter at the beginning of Shabbos remains mutter. Okay. So now let's talk about the last part, where it says anything that was usher partially for the beginning of Shabbos remains usher. So what would be the case over there? Well, we had that case before. Two houses on opposite sides of Rishus HaRabim and the police cordon off the street. Remember our Fifth Avenue barbecue story, or cholent story, I should say. So the question over there is, there's obviously no isser anymore in Tiltol because the cops created a chutzner for you between the two houses on either side of the street. And nonetheless, comes along the Brayta to say that it doesn't matter, even though it's only a Rabbanan, since it was usher before Shabbos, even if one of them will be mevatel as Rishus to the other one, there is no way to be matir it, because it was usher at the beginning of Shabbos. Okay, and what is the Zeha klal in this case coming to extend this concept to include? The Zeha klal is coming to include the case of the Nochri, where even though he died on Shabbos, it still is usher after his death, because it was usher at the beginning of Shabbos. Now, this is a much bigger chiddush. It's a vast expansion over and above the case that we started with the police cordon. Why? Because the case of the Nochri, remember, did have the theoretical possibility of our making an Erev, because we could have actually rented his rishus out. We just didn't. So you might think, okay, so I mean, in that case, since he's no longer here, and the theoretical possibility of our making an eruv between ourselves was available to us had we rented the rishus from him. So if he's dead, it should be the same thing as having rented the rishus from him. Kamash Malan, even in this case, we define the status of the chutzur at the beginning of Shabbos, and that is the status of chutzur for the remainder of Shabbos. Now that we understand the Braita, I want to ask my kasha on Reb Nachman, okay? It says here, Beferish, that the only case where this does not apply, these rules, is somebody who's being mevatel rishus, the guy who is going to be mevatel his rishus. That means the guy himself, that guy who had the rights to be mevatel rishus, he can exercise those rights on Shabbos. It doesn't say chutz mi bitul rishus. It says the guy who would have been mevatel rishus. That means daddy-o and not his yoresh son. Okay, Reb Nachman says the Yoresh son can do the same thing. So apparently his heir cannot do that. Oh, come on, says Reb Nachman. And the Mevatel Rishus doesn't mean the guy. Mevatel Rishus means the idea, the concept. Chutz mitorat bito Rishus. The general concept of being Mevatel Rishus is the one concept that is not part of this overall statement of how it is that we're going to view all of the dinim here. Okay. Says the Gemara, all right, fine, you got away with that one, but we do have a problem from another Braita. Take a look at this Braita, which seems to be saying that there is no way for a Yoresh to be Mevatel, not like Reb Nachman. It says over here, if one of the people in a chutzah dies, and he was Meniach Rishuto Lechad Min Hashuk, so his son, who is going to inherit him, is he lives somewhere totally different. He's not part of this chutzur. And the question is, what happens now that someone else owns the rishus? So now the question is, if he died while there was still time before Shabbos to make an Erev, and therefore the Erev was never chal, obviously, because at the moment that Shabbos was chal, this guy was dead. And he can't join in the Erev. So if he died while it was still before Shkia, and therefore the Erev wasn't Chal, so then if the Ben doesn't join in the Erev, then he's going to ask for everybody else. But if the guy dies after the Erev was already Chal, so then the heir doesn't ask for anybody else, because this is part of the halacha that we had before. Once something is defined as a kosher chutzah for carrying in at the beginning of Shabbos, it doesn't change later. In the opposite case, where somebody outside of the chutzah, which we call min hashuk, meaning from the open area outside, he dies and he gives his rishus le'echad mibnei echatzer. So someone, let's imagine a case where a father owns a house in a particular chutzur, but he hasn't been using it. He uses it once in a while to come and visit the kids who live in the same housing development in the same chutzur. Now the father dies. So now all of a sudden, the kids who didn't own this house now, so there was, let's say, a brother was visiting or used to live by his sister for Shabbos. All of a sudden, now he becomes the owner of the house on Shabbos, or right before Shabbos, depending when the father died. So now, in such a case, he was meniach reshuto to someone who was in the chutzah. So if he died while it was Erev Shabbos before Shkia, so then the son does not aser, because he's got no problem. He can join the Erev now. You still have time to join the Erev. So there's nothing inherently problematic. And so, I mean, this would be true even if, let's say, the son had joined the Erev while he was visiting his sister, or when he still lived in that house together with his sister, it still wouldn't have helped, because now he's got a new rishus he didn't have before, and this is now his own private house, and this private house has its own use of the chutzur, and it never joined in the Erev. So we would have a problem with that. Okay. So l'chora, if it happens in such a case while it's still time to join an Erev, he can't. By the way, not all the Rishonim agree with that. I just want you to know. But This is the way that Rashi seems to hold. Mishecha shecha, namely that even if he had an heir, if it wouldn't have helped for him, he has to join with this new heir. Mishecha shecha, if the father dies in this other city where he was living, leaving over his vacation home to his son, which is now in that chotzer, and he's there, so now he has nothing to do. What do you mean he has nothing to do? Well, he couldn't have made an Erev in time before Shabbos, and therefore, yeah, and therefore he can't be Mevatel Rishus. Aha! So he answers, which is the exact opposite of what Reb Nachman said. Reb Nachman said, doesn't matter if you could have made an Erev or not. Basically, if you are an heir, then it should be the same. So Amayo, sir, why can't he Mevatel at this point right now? Well, then maybe that's what it means, says Reb Nachman. He asers means he asers, and now what is he going to do about it? Now he has to go and be Mevatel Rishus. Maybe that's all it means. So therefore, we do not really have much of a kasha on Reb Nachman.